Would you turn with me, please, to the passage we read from the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, and chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and as the Lord would enable us this morning, we might consider together the words of verse 18. Proverbs 4 at verse 18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Proverbs 4, verse 18, where we have a description of growing in grace. You find here a contrast between two different types of people. There are the wicked and there are the righteous. Enter not into the path of the wicked, is what we are told. Avoid it, pass it by. Here are people who are always plotting mischief and who cannot sleep unless they have caused someone to stumble. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. He speaks of the wicked. That is, those who are rebellious, guilty sinners. Those who live in open rebellion against God and his ways, and who shall be condemned. Those whom the God of this world has blinded, lest they should believe the gospel and be converted and saved. Those who walk on in the vanity of their mind, having their understandings darkened, who are at enmity against God. They live in darkness. They don't know gospel truth, and they don't want to know gospel truth. And our lives are dark lives, given over to sin, given over to rebellion and wickedness. And he says, they are going to stumble. They stumble and fall. At one point, they may not know what is going to happen to them. But as they go on in sin, they shall stumble and fall and be brought down at the judgment of God. That stone upon which God's people are built, a rock of offence, a stone of stumbling to those who go on in rebellion. They live dark lives now, and their lot shall be darkness forever. What a thought. Living without God, living dark lives now, and their destiny is everlasting darkness. Depart from me into outward darkness, is what the judge of all the earth will say to all such one day. No wonder he says to us, avoid that way, pass by that way, keep from it, because it is the way that leads to hell. And whether we be young or old, we must be on our guard to avoid that way. And to recognise that there might be a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And when you and I think of others in that way, oh friends, should we not pity them? And should we not seek to pluck them as brands from the burning and direct them into the ways of truth? There are the wicked. And then there are those who are just, as it's described in our text, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Who are the just? Well, the just are those who are righteous. It's the same word that tends to be used in the original. And it speaks of those whose lives are lived in conformity to the law of God. It is the rule. It is the rule which states the right way in which we are to live. And here are people who are living according to that rule, who are living in the right way. They are those who are seeking to be justified only through the righteousness of Christ. And because of that, have a desire to live a life of holiness out of gratitude to God. Friend, is that you? How do you hope to be justified before the judge of all the earth? What will your plea be on that day? Will it be Christ and his keeping of the law, his perfect righteousness, his death on the cross? Is that alone which can atone for sin? You see, the just are those who have discovered their own lack of righteousness, who have fled to Christ and embraced him for salvation, that they might be justified through faith, and who go on. And because of their hatred of sin, because it is wrong and against God, they desire holiness of life. Is your desire to keep the commandments of God a desire that arises out of gratitude and out of love to God, and not in order to appease God? That's the just man. The just man, resting in Christ, looking to his righteousness and living godly in this world. And we're told that his life is like a light. The path of the just, the way of his living, is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. His life is a light. He was once darkness, but now he is light in the Lord, and he is living and walking as a child of light. And the picture we have here in our text is of the believer who has been brought to know the truth and whose life is a light, that it is a growing light. The picture drawn for us is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day, or it is as the dawn. Think of the early morning. It's dark. Then the sun begins to rise, and there's a few glimmers of light. And as the sun rises, you have just the faintest glimmer of light changing until there is more light, and then full light. And to a certain extent, you can see that light seems to increase until the sun reaches its zenith at the noonday. And the path of the just is like this growing light. The believer is someone who is growing in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. Let's then think of this growing in grace. And the first thing we notice is that it is certain growth. Certain growth. Think of the sun. Every morning, it begins to appear over the horizon. And it makes its first appearance, and it continues, and it grows in extent, and its effects grow more and more until it reaches the perfect noonday. The dawn gives way to the brightness of the morning and the noon. And you know If you had a sleepless night, you know that as you see the first glimmer of light, well, it won't be too long. Before it's day, I can get up and go about my business. I'll be glad the night's over. I haven't slept much. It's certain for the light to grow. Is that not true of the believer? The path of the just is like that dawning light that dawns more and more unto the perfect day. You're called to grow in grace. In other words, the people of God are a people who are to be a growing people. Those who grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. You think of how Peter can speak of drinking the sincere milk of the word. And then you find the writer to the Hebrews complaining about them. He's saying, look, you've been believers for quite a while. Why is it that rather than going on to strong meat, you're still needing such milk rather than making progress? What has gone wrong, he's saying to them. I think of a child. The child doesn't grow. You get worried. If it's struggling to move on to solids, and not just the beginning of the solid phase, but a good hearty meal, you get concerned and worried. It's a sign of something being wrong. There's a believer then. One who certainly should grow. Growing until when? Until full manhood. Until full womanhood. Growing until we achieve that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There is the destiny of God's people. To be as like Christ as it is possible for them to be. Are you growing in grace, friend? And are you growing in the knowledge of the truth? Is your knowledge of God increasing? Perhaps you had quite simple, basic views of God as you grew up and sooner or later came to faith. And perhaps you had little conception of His majesty or His sovereignty. Are the depths of the riches of His love in Christ Jesus. You look back and you can see there were things that you now know that you just didn't grasp then. There was the truth about God. Or do you think of the reality of His law? Perhaps to begin with. In the first flush of love to Christ, it seemed an easy thing to keep the commandments of God, and you thought indeed that, well, you were making great progress, and you heard of others complaining about the burden of sin and corruption. Ah, but you're beginning to learn. It's more of a reality than what you originally thought. You can understand some older, maturer believers as they seem to struggle on. And now you find you're in that situation yourself. And there is corruption within. It's not outward things which are so much the problem, but the rottenness of your own heart. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. You now see the law of God is exceedingly broad. You didn't know that before. Or your view of Christ. Perhaps it was a fairly simple view of Christ dying on the cross for sinners. Ah, but you're learning more what it means for Him to be the prophet, priest and king of His people. And how all these things are needed in order for Him to be the complete Saviour. And the Saviour of each one of His people. You understand more of His the glory and dignity of His person, God and man. Two natures in one person forever. And you marvel, finished of crucified, the Son of Glory. And that he should have been willing to plumb such depths, to humble himself, the one who remained God, and yet there, with a true humanity, united to his own divine person, gave himself. Not only was he subjected to the abuse of sinners, but knew the curse of the law when he hanged on the cross. You know more about yourself than what you once knew. You're learning more and more your own weakness, your own fickleness, how little you know. Isn't it true that when we begin to learn things, we think we know a great deal about something? It doesn't matter what it is. It might be geometry, it might be physics. Geography doesn't matter, but as time goes on, the more you study, the less you realise you know. Is that not true? There's so much to learn and understand of the Word of God. But are you growing? There's the question. And are you growing in grace? Are you being more fruitful? Is there more of that fruit of the Spirit? What about those graces of faith and trust? Trust in the Lord. Are you exercising more faith? Is your life more and more daily a life of faith, conscious trust in the Lord for all things? Are you growing in love? Love to God and love to the brethren. Are you growing in humility? There are inward graces. Are you growing in these things? Are you growing in outward graces? Is there true holiness? A greater carefulness as to how you live? That you be without spot or blemish in your life? That the doctrine of God be not blasphemed? You have an increasing desire to serve God and to give the whole of your life and all that you are in consecration to Him. Are you growing in prayerfulness? Are you growing? You see, the path of the just is as the shining light. It shines more and more. The believer is one who grows in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are some who perhaps appear to grow and then they stop. They're a bit like those shooting stars and meteors you might see in the star sky at night. There's a flash, a streak of lightning, and they've gone. There seemed to be something. It fizzled out. But that's not the believer. He grows more and more. Not all the seed that germinated in the parable of the sower brought forth fruit. There were some who began well, but well, the first sight of persecution, I don't know if it's such a good thing after all. They get too hot. They were not prepared to be loyal to Christ. There are some who are caught up with the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, how we must avoid these things if we would grow in grace. Are you growing? Or we must continue to grow. Believer, keep on striving to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. For the people of God will grow, and they shall grow more and more until they reach that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And although at times there may be many pains as you grow, and trials and difficulties, know that the victory is assured. Every believer shall one day be as Christ-like as it is possible to be. Perhaps when you look at yourself, you get discouraged. You see others growing, but you see little growth in yourself. Well, be encouraged. God sees true growth in his people. And often, the people of God rejoice to see others growing, even when they cannot see it themselves. Growth is certain. But then notice the second thing. This growth is imperceptible growth. Imperceptible. It's difficult to see it. Is that not true at the beginning? And also through life? Think of the first light. When does first light really appear? You can think you can see the beginnings of the glimmer of the sun. The sun would wait for the morning, but is it really the sun? Am I just taking it in? Is it just the moon seems to be a bit brighter or not? Is it really appearing or not? Isn't that the way it can be in the soul? Isn't that the way it often is? The Lord begins a work of grace, but it's difficult to tell when that work can actually be. It may be that you were living a carefree life. You had little concern, truly, for the things of God or for eternity. You had little trouble about your own sinfulness. But then things began to change in your life. And things that you delighted in began to lose their savour. And you couldn't quite understand why. You began to be troubled about things which formerly you were unconcerned about, and you were confused. And others may have seen that the Lord seemed to be working in the life, but you couldn't see it. There's the Lord at work, though. He begins to work. And at times it's very difficult to see when the work has begun. God works, regenerating the soul. But that's a secret work. And we see the fruit of that in conversion. As people come more and more under the influence of the word. And that seed of faith and repentance comes more to fruition. It's very difficult to know when the Lord begins. And perhaps if there's someone who is brought up within the church of God, you could have a covenant child, and well, there's always been a sense of interest in the scriptures. Perhaps Timothy, who from a childhood had known the scriptures. Certainly John the Baptist, who the Lord seems to have worked on from his womb. It's so difficult to see what is happening. But the question is there growth? Do you love the Lord? Is he your all in all? Do you have a hatred of sin? Are you trusting in Christ? And as the Lord begins, it can be very difficult to see what he is doing, changing the life. What happens? Well, just as it can be difficult seeing the beginning of the new day. But as the sun rises, it's clear. Dawn has come. There is light there. So, as God works in the soul, and a person comes to faith in Christ, there are changes. Changes in what we value. Once we knew Christ after the flesh,
Henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Once the Lord our righteousness meant nothing to us. Now it means everything to us. Once we thought little of sin. Now we hate sin. Once I lived for myself, now I want to honour the Lord with the whole of my life.
Whether a rebel, or whether someone who was merely going through the motion, continued weekly at the means of grace, under the preaching of the word, and a good living person, change is happening imperceptibly. But the Lord at work, awakening the soul, bringing it to faith. But it's imperceptible. There are some perhaps who can say, well, I remember a certain sermon, a certain situation, I came to faith. Although the Lord may have been doing some work before, who knows when he actually began the work. But there are others. And well, it's so difficult to see. Take comfort. When you hear glowing testimonies, and you see this person who was a rebel brought to faith, and it's so dramatic and it sounds so wonderful. Yes, it's good to see what God can do. You might not have had experience, but remember, if you're loving the Lord, if you're growing in grace, that's what's important, is to have Christ as yours. And that growth in grace, which seems so, you could say, quick and meteoric, as you have someone suddenly transformed, that's not always the way it is. Especially with those who grow up under the strong influence of the gospel. That imperceptible growth, it's not only at the beginning. Isn't it true that it continues? Think of the sunrise. When do you determine that it's full light? Isn't it so difficult to see? You've got the beginning of the dawn, and it slowly creeps up. Perhaps you're looking for a lovely sky, which occurs as the sun begins to break over the mountains, or there's the cloud formations giving a beautiful scene. You're thinking, well, just a little bit more and I'll see such a lovely view. What happens? You take your eyes away, you wait, you look back, not much change. 5 minutes later you come back, you've missed it. It's so difficult to tell. This change, this slow increase in light. You see, the kingdom of heaven, like that man sowing the seed, and he looks at it and it grows. He doesn't know how. And he's looking at it day by day, and sometimes there seems little change, but there's the seed, and it begins to grow. And there is first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. Dear believer, isn't it true that the more you grow, the less you will see that growth? That's probably true of our children. Or at least other people's children, especially if you haven't seen them for a while. What a change. Haven't seen them for 6 months. Haven't seen them for a year. What a change that is. If you're seeing them often, it's so difficult to see the change. And especially as they get that bit older. Perhaps you look at yourself and you wonder, am I really growing in grace? Well, remember, the path of the just is a shining light that shines more and more until the perfect day, and that it's an imperceptible growth. It's often difficult to see. John Newton, the preacher who was formerly a slave ship captain, he wrote 3 letters about growth in grace. And one day, he got a letter from a person who was saying to him what a wonderful description he gave
of different stages in the life of a Christian's experience. You've got the beginnings. You've got the blade just beginning to appear. Conversion. And first flush of you. And then you have the middle stage, the blade in the ear. And then you have the believer progressing. And then you've got the full corn in the ear, the mature Christian. The man said, "And I'm so pleased at what you've written, and I can say I'm just like the man who is the full corn in the ear." And Newton wrote a quick letter back saying, "Oh, I forgot to say one thing. My description of the man who is the full corn in the ear, I forgot to mention, he can't see his own face. He doesn't see himself." Isn't that true? Do you think you're growing in grace? You might be learning more, but then you're realizing how little I know. You're mortifying sin, but what do you see? More sin appearing. Like the woman who is cleaning and cleaning. And there she is, she's got this brass pot or whatever, and she's cleaning away, and what progress she's made. But there's still these blemishes. And the more cleaning, well, the more the blemishes are, she still sees them, and perhaps the more insignificant of them. Because she's cleaned so much, they're so startlingly obvious. Isn't that the way it is? In other words, remember, dear believer, especially those of you who have gone on and on with the Lord. You may be troubled at times because you see a lack of growth. But remember, you need to take a long-term view of things. What do you see in the long term? Is there a change in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years? You look back and you realize, I did things in my young Christian days I would never do now. I thought I knew it all. Oh, how little I really know now. And remember that things like humility are never really seen. Can you picture someone bounding up to you and saying, "I'm a really humble person"? What would you think of such a person? Well, if there's one thing you're not, it's humble. You would never say such a thing. You would never feel such a thing. Remember as well that the believer grows downwards as well as upwards. The tree. The tree grows upwards. But often there are great roots downwards. You're to be rooted and grounded in Christ. And there are graces which are unseen. Seek to cultivate these things. As well as those more obvious outward things. And remember, you have to measure the roots as well as the tops. There are some trees that perhaps have hardly any root system. At least not deep down. The conifers, you see them toppled over. Certainly in the Highlands you do. They seem to have hardly any root system. Thick as down. You get others. The great oaks or cedars going down. You don't see much growth, but there's great growth down as well as up. That's who it's to be with us. Dear believer, you will have a holy dissatisfaction with yourself so long as you're in this world. But strive to grow in grace. A third thing. You'll notice that the growth described here is not only certain but imperceptible, it is progressive. The path of the just is the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. There's progress. Ah, well, you see, I don't know if I see great progress, but there's progressive growth. Isn't it true that the progress may appear hindered? At the beginning of the dawn, the sun's rising, it's just beginning to rise. If it's a cloudless sky, well, there you are. You're conscious of light
flooding your bedroom scene. But sometimes cloud and mist can come over. And where formerly there was light, there is now darkness again, and at least very little light. It's not always bright shining. The sunlight progressively appears, but it may be hindered. And so it is with the believer, progressing in knowledge. But sometimes that brightness can appear hindered. In other words, you may be full of joy and faith and love. Then you find the joy's gone. Your confidence is gone. You don't have that love and trust and confidence in the Lord that you once had. Trials and troubles arise, and you don't always exercise faith in the midst of them. Or you can fall into sin. You can backslide. Unbelief can overwhelm you. Is that your situation today? You don't seem as bright as you once were. You're going through the motions. What do you need to do? You need to stir yourself up. You need to rouse yourself. You need to look to Christ and rely on Him and seek to exercise faith and persevere. Like the church in the Song of Solomon, seeking after her bride. There she was. Oh, I'm too tired. I put off my shoes. How can I put them back on? Look, let's just meet up another day. That lack of warmth and love for Christ. Can't we be like that? Where's the zeal that you once had to see sinners saved, see your own family walking in the ways of God, your own desire for the glory of God and to learn more of the truth of God, to love the brethren more and to love God more? Is that gone? Stir yourself up and seek after the Lord. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. That progress can appear hindered. But notice this. The progress cannot ultimately be hindered. What happens in the morning when it's very bright, just at the beginning of the dawn, and then cloud or mist or perhaps even fog comes? Once it was light, and then it gets a bit darker. But what's really happening? As the sun arises, and as the cloud or mist give way, it's brighter than what it had been earlier on at first light. The brightness ultimately is increasing unto the perfect day. The darker peer gives way to a brightness again which is brighter than before. Friends, isn't that what the Lord can do? Isn't that what He does do? There's a believer. He falls into sin. He backslides in some way. He grows cold. And these things, through the blessing of God, are sanctified to him. And when he returns, it is with renewed zeal, with renewed love, with a renewed desire for holiness, with a renewed appreciation of the grace of God. Think of David in Psalm 51. Before his fall, he knew something of the wonder of forgiveness and of communion with God and of God's grace. But you come to him after the events with Bathsheba, and he's writing Psalm 51, and perhaps a time after that again. What do you find? A man who knows how amazing the grace of God is. He forgives poor sinners.
and brings them to himself. And then they go on and rebel in their foolishness. And what does he do? Does he just cast them off? He restores them to the paths of righteousness.
The God who goes again and loves his people, as Hosea was to go again and to love that woman who he had loved to begin with, who had again played the harlot. What a God! Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgressions of the remnant, notice this, of his heritage, his people, who retains not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. God sanctifies these things. David knew more about himself, about his own weakness, about his own sin, and the sinfulness of sin, and the folly of sin, and more about God and his love and grace in Christ after his fall than what he had known before. The brightness had increased. Of course, it never justified the fall. David knew many problems in his life because of those lapses and those falls into sin. So it's never an excuse for sin. The believer reproaches himself. But thanks God, he is able to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. The progress can't be hindered. The believer will one day be perfect. Just like the dawn. As it begins, the sun grows more and more unto the perfect day, the light increases. So with the believer, his graces shall flourish more and more. One day, he shall see God's face in righteousness and be satisfied when he appears in his likeness. Press on then, growing in grace. A final brief thing. Notice this is Christ-centered growth. Isn't he the light from whom all other light comes? Don't we owe everything to Christ? How shall we grow in grace? But as we rely upon Christ. Is he not the pattern that you and I are to follow, to be like him, to come under unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to be rooted and grounded in him, becoming more like him? It's as you and I abide in him, as we draw from him, who is the vine and we are the branches, that we shall bring forth fruit. Well, let us rely upon him. Let us seek communion with him. Let us be much in his word. Let us rely on the spirit of grace and of supplications to be to us a sanctifying spirit. Let us focus upon Christ. Let us look to him and delight in him, that we might more and more be transformed into his likeness. It's Christ-centered growth. Give thanks for whenever you see any growth. It's all his doing. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not you. Give thanks for him. Humble yourself under him, acknowledging it's his work. Pray that he will increase that work. Ask him to do so by his Spirit. And keep your eye on him, that you might become more like day by day. And rejoice that he who has begun a good work, if he's begun that in you, friend, he'll continue it
to the day of Christ. So press on, striving to grow in grace, because the path of the just is as the shining light which shines more and more to the perfect day. Let us pray. Our Lord and God, we bless thee that thou art the God of salvation, who, when he begins a good work, completes that work. We acknowledge that the work of salvation is all of grace. Thou knowest, O Lord, the desire of thy people to grow in grace. O grant that we might be a growing people who grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. Keep us, O Lord, from merely being hearers of thy word and not doers of thy word. May we be washed by that sanctifying influence of thy word. May we be fed by thy word. May we be ever drawn to Christ through thy word. May we be made more like him, O Lord, to grow, to be more like him, from glory to glory by the Spirit. This is the desire of thy people. Bless us then, we pray. And help us indeed to be as lights in this dark world, holding forth the truth. Keep us from the way of darkness, the way of the wicked, which is death. O Lord, bless thy word, and accept our praise for thy mercies in Christ. Amen.